Hebrews chapter 7, verse 11. Now, if perfection was through the Levitical priesthood, for on the basis of it the people received the law, what further need was there for another priest to arise, according to the order of Melchizedek, and not be designated according to the order of Aaron? So the Levitical priesthood was not perfection, nor could it attain perfection. Rather, it was plagued by human weakness and struggle. Verse 12 says, "For when the priesthood is changed, of necessity there takes place a change of law also. The Old Testament rituals, the law, was done away with, and Christ came ushering in a new covenant, something better, a covenant in him and his sacrifice. So dependence upon the Old Testament rituals and the priesthood was now useless." Verse 13, "For the one concerning whom these things are spoken belongs to another tribe, from which no one has officiated at the altar." We've already taken note that the Old Testament priesthood came from Aaron and the tribe of Levi. But Jesus was not of the Levites. His priesthood was not according to the Old Testament rituals, but rather according to Melchizedek, as we saw in the previous podcast. "For it is evident that our Lord was descended from Judah, a tribe with reference to which Moses spoke nothing concerning about priests. And this is clearer still, if another priest arises according to the likeness of Melchizedek." Verse 16, "Who has become such, not on the basis of the law, a physical requirement, but according to the power of an indestructible life. For it is attested of him, 'You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek.' So how then can one, not of the tribe of Levi, be a priest? Only by the ordinance of God. The Levites were ordained on the basis of their lineage and lack of physical deformity. Jesus, on the other hand, was ordained by God as a priest in God's very own word." Verse 18, "For on the one hand, there is a setting aside of a former commandment because of its weakness and uselessness. For the law made nothing perfect." As we already know, the law was a schoolmaster to Christ. It showed us our sin. The law is not a way to earn salvation, but a way to point us to true salvation in the one and only law keeper, Jesus Christ. "And on the other hand, there is a bringing in of a better hope through which we draw near to God. So in contrast to the weak Levitical priesthood, in step Jesus, bringing a better hope in the sense that it is the only hope of drawing near to God. How can one enter the holy, holy, holy God's presence? No other way than through Christ, the holy priest." Verse 20, "And inasmuch as it was not without an oath, for they indeed became priests without an oath, but he with an oath, through the one who said to him, 'The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind, you are a priest forever.'" This oath points us to the fact that Jesus is a priest and will be a priest forever. His position will never end. The Levites began at 25 and ended at 50. At most, they could serve 25 years. Verse 22, "So much the more also Jesus has become the guarantee of a better covenant." What then makes this covenant better? How is Jesus a continued superior priest? The verse tells us in 23, "The former priests, on the one hand, existed in greater numbers because they were prevented by death from continuing." They died. There were many. They were all sinful men. They all succumbed to death. But Jesus, on the other hand, because he continues forever, holds his priesthood permanently. Jesus, on the other hand, is the resurrected Lord, whose flesh did not undergo decay. His priesthood will never pass away, but rather it will continue on permanently. As sure as the sun is to rise and set, as sure as the waves are to continue crashing upon the shore, as sure as flowers will bloom each spring, even more so, Christ remains our priest. Therefore, he's able to save forever those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. This is the beautiful gospel, brothers and sisters. Because of Jesus' permanent position as the risen priest, we are able to be saved by him, not just right now, but forever and without fail as we come to God through him. "For it was fitting for us to have such a high priest. He's holy, without fault, innocent. He's innocent without guile. He's undefiled. He's pure and moral, separated from sinners and exalted above the heavens. He's been given a name above every name. He's been exalted to the right hand of God. He does not need daily, like those high priests, to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people. Why? Because he himself is perfect. Because this he did once for all, when he offered up himself. Verse 27. He has, on the other hand, offered up himself as an atonement for all sins, because he himself was the perfect lamb, provided and ordained by God. He willingly offered up himself. For the law appoints men as high priests who are weak, but the word of the oath, which came after the law, appoints a son made perfect forever. A priest forever according to Melchizedek. God has appointed this priest personally, and God's word stands. He is an eternal perfect priest, and our salvation rests on him and nothing else. Therefore God, as Jesus was baptized, said, "This is my son, in whom I am well pleased."